unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
With bigger balls than BB-8, we certainly don't shoot first like Han. We are back. It's Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. My name is Will, and joining me, as always, is my hardworking and trusty co-presenter. It's John. How are you, John?
I'm cool, Will. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. We're testing some technical stuff. We've got some new technical stuff for the web, for the podcast even. And I don't know if any of it's going to really work. So hopefully this show is going to come out. It should come out nice and clear because what I've done is I've got some software to make us sound nice. So we could just ease into this show and just talk nicely. It should be a nice bit of bass in our voice and it should be nice and clear. As if it works. If it doesn't, it'll be same shit as usual, I'm afraid. I'm slightly tinny. John sounds perfect, even if he recalls through a tin can. It's so annoying, the last show. I was recording through my normal mic and sounded terrible, and you recorded through your tablet.
Yeah.
It sounded amazing. I don't know what's going on. But that was so far in the past that I can barely remember it, John, because we haven't actually done a podcast for a while, have we?
No, because we've had a planned summer break.
That's right. It was a mid-season summer break. Nothing to do with me going on holiday and John having lots on and possibly being on holiday as well. We didn't coordinate our holidays at all. But anyway, fuck it. We are back with Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. And as always, we haven't prepared at all. So this is going to be possibly between half an hour to an hour of us making stuff up as we go along. So have you heard about the new Star Wars Star Trek crossover movie J.J. Abrams is making?
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm making shit up. Should we start where we usually start, after all the waffle? And what have you watched since last time? And I know you're probably going to have trouble remembering everything, because it has been a while. But have you watched any decent films or television since we last spoke?
Where to begin? Finally watched Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah? What do you think?
Brilliant.
Aha, I've just tweeted just before we start recording. I had to make a early to mid-evening trip to my nearby local supermarket to purchase first Wellington boots for my daughter, as you do, obviously, on a, was it Tuesday night?
Yeah.
that's what you should usually do on a Tuesday evening. And I just so happened to pick up a copy of Age of Ultron on Blu-ray as well, which came out yesterday here in the UK, probably the rest of the world as well. So I'm looking forward to watching that possibly on Thursday if my wife wants to watch it, maybe on Friday because my wife is out babysitting for a neighbour if she doesn't. But I saw it at the cinema. It was amazing. Really enjoyed it. What else have you watched?
I've watched San Andreas.
Oh my God, why?
Why? Because just I don't know, because I can.
punishing yourself, are you? You're glutton for punishment. No, really, were you interested enough to seek that out?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the missus likes her sort of natural disaster movies like tornadoes and stuff like that, so...
Sharknado.
She was up for seeing that as well.
Sharknado.
No, that's not natural. That's just bizarre.
do you know what? I'm sorry to cut in, John, but... I received an email with an offer for us to interview one of the lead actors in Sharknado 3.
No.
Yeah, do you think we should do that?
Oh, God. We can barely run a podcast. Do you think we can do an interview?
It's true. We only ever really did one movie interview, and that was with Mike Pesce for his fan film of The Punisher that got shut down by Marvel. Yeah, I don't know. I was considering it, but I've not seen any of the films. I wouldn't know what to ask him. I mean,
Did you know who it was then? Did it give a name?
It did give a name. I can't remember. I could look it up if you're really, really desperate, but it might might interfere with the audio quality that we get on the show. This is podcasting on a shoestring budget, I'm afraid.
That's our internet connection, isn't it? A shoestring.
Pretty much, yeah. But I don't know, I was considering that. Also got, as you may have seen, as you, I think I'm sure you did see on Twitter, an invite to a Los Angeles premiere of some B-movie.
Yes.
Called, I think it was called Massacre or something. Yeah, I probably won't be attending that one unless they're willing to pay for flights. And I don't think so, if they're willing to invite me. But anyway, sorry, San Andreas. Come on, tell me all about this. Is this the best movie you've seen all year?
That would be a no.
Oh, I am surprised.
it's all right. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's full of disaster movie cliches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know the plot from the trailer. I mean, his wife and daughter are stuck in a earthquake, so he's going to go rescue them. So what do you think is going to happen? I mean, it's just entertaining. It's quite, and apparently it wasn't a very big budget. And considering the effects are pretty good, actually, lots of disaster porn for your money there.
Okay, you're cutting some slack, are you? That's very good. fair enough. Yeah, I've absolutely zero desire to watch San Andreas, I have to be honest. But I'm glad that you did, just so that we can report on that for our listeners. I'm sure they'll love it. Anything else? What else have you seen?
Everything else I've seen recently, I think I've reviewed for the website. There's Ant-Man, Minions.
Yeah.
Jurassic World.
Obviously, I went and saw Minions with the kids pretty much as soon as it came out.
Yeah.
And but I did not get around to seeing Ant-Man, which really I'm a bit sad about. I didn't get around to seeing Jurassic World either, despite going to Waterloo Station in London, where they had loads of dinosaurs set up and they were selling everything to do with the film and all the other Jurassic Park movies. But no, I didn't get to see it, so... yeah, a little bit of a shame, that.
Oh, and Terminator Genesis, which I reviewed, which was incredibly disappointing.
That actually got quite a good buzz, that review. A lot of people, sort of favourite it in and a few retweets on that one as well.
So, really? Yeah. Good. That's why I do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You post stuff and it goes straight to the Unheard Nerd, at the Unheard Nerd on Twitter, because it's set up as soon as you post on the website to tweet it. And then, you sort of tend to retweet from your own account, which people should follow, by the way. It's at UK Film Nerd on Twitter. But then I don't suppose you ever really see, how many tweets and retweets.
I feel quite lonely sometimes because I never see the stats. So I just think sometimes I'm doing it for my own pleasure.
Really not. No, there's at least five people who take interest.
Yes.
We're catching the core of our demographic. It's only a matter of time before we take over the world. I think it's going all right with the site. We're getting a lot of cool contacts and things, people approaching us, and I've started getting a lot of screeners actually for movies, short films and even some full length sort of they're low budget horror films mostly, but people are able to make much better quality films on a low budget these days. I tried to send you one possibly when I was on holiday for you. I don't know if you got it.
Was it the one starring, Colin Baker narrates it or something? That one?
Possibly, I don't remember. I've literally been sent about five more since, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you're interested in actually giving some of them a look and. And maybe reviewing some of them, but there's a steady stream of them coming in, and it is, after all, indie film, which is something we should be championing.
That needs more of a push.
Yeah. So okay, well there we go, people. That's something to look forward to. Maybe we can have our indie film of the month on the show in future. Oh my god, format. That's a concept, isn't it?
Oh, blimey.
So you've seen San Andreas, you've seen a Minion movie, you've seen Ant-Man, you've seen Jurassic World, and you've seen, I don't know why I say it like that, and you've seen Terminator, let's not talk about it. Any TV? Watching any TV? It's sort of off-season, isn't it?
The thing that's got me hooked at the moment, I've watched it all now, it's only 13 episodes, is Mr. Robot.
Oh, right, okay. I've seen a little bit about that, but I haven't seen anything of it, if that makes sense.
Yes, well, it's on the it was broadcast on the USA channel in the States, which means for us we have to watch it via other means. I can't remember the guy's name now. That's typical. Anyway, it's about a guy who basically works for a security firm during the day, an IT security firm, but in his spare time he's a hacker.
All right.
And he meets I've forgotten names. He meets a guy he refers to as Mr. Robot. I can't remember the actor is now. It's left my head. It sounds stupid. Edit.
Don't worry, we don't need facts on this show.
Okay. Anyway, I think the best way to describe it was like Fight Club as a weekly series.
Oh,
that's,
right.
that's the start of the show. It's how it felt. It's these sort of unconventional camera angles and some great choice of editing. And I don't know. I just hooked from episode one.
Oh wow, that sounds cool.
So yeah, I'm highly recommending that one. 21 hasn't seen that yet.
Yeah, I might have to try and check out that. And I really must try and carry on with Last Man on Earth. Because I think that's coming up for a second season or something, and I've only watched like 3 or 4 episodes of that so far. Have you seen
what show's that? I've not heard of that one.
The Last Man on Earth. I mean, it's kind of descriptive in its title. It's a guy who is the last man on Earth, but I'm only a few episodes in, and it stars. I don't know who the guy is, but Christian Schaal. Is female character, and early on, you know, I think probably first episode he meets her, and I think from trailers I've seen, because it's just hit UK TV, so we're always way behind with these things. I see from the trailer that he obviously meets another woman, but like he's literally the last man on Earth, and I guess it's up to him to kind of repopulate the planet, if you will. But it was quite fun the first episode. Yeah, he's just so bored. He does all this crazy stuff, like he sets up a pool toilet. Yeah, he's got. There's nothing works anymore. Yeah, there's no working. You know, sewage or anything. Yeah, like there's nothing to take away. So he sets up a toilet on top of a swimming pool and just starts filling it. Basically, he's bowling in a mall lot and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it looks fun. I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem to set the internet alight, but it looked a lot of fun for me. So. I want to give that another watch. Things like Gotham and The Flash are off season at the moment, but I think The Flash is back in a week or Gotham's back in a week, something like that.
Yeah, the American TV season sort of basically starts next week and then kicks into full effect the week after and everything comes flooding back.
That's right. But what has started, and I think it was we mentioned on the last show, AMC launched in the UK via BT's television output. I don't really know what to call it. It's not BT Vision. I don't know what it is. But
did you hear what Sky users have to do to get that channel?
No, I have no idea. No.
So this is completely for anyone else around the world who's not in the UK. This is just pointless information. But to get AMC on Sky, one of the most popular, well, sort of the satellite network for the UK, you had to buy the BT package of all the sport channels and you get AMC.
Well, do you know what? I mean, actually, if you're a BT customer like I am, you had to have all the sports channels as well. Yeah, you could subscribe to it separately, but it was an additional cost unless you have the sports channels. If you have the sports channels, then fuck yeah, you can have AMC for free. Which I don't mind because I have all the sports channels.
That worked out all right for you.
Because I have my internet service via BT. BT, traditionally, British Telecom. Yeah, they're a telecommunications company. I happen to have my internet and telephone through them anyway. And BT customers who have internet get the sports channels for free. So if you've got the sports channels, you get AMC for free. So it all works out for me in the end. But yes, they launched with Fear the Walking Dead, which I haven't watched yet, but I am recording. So kind of looking forward to that. I'm still way, 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 way behind on The Walking Dead. I think I'm still on like season 3 or season 4. So yeah, I'm way, way behind. And never likely to catch up. But I thought since Fear the Walking Dead is only 6 episodes long, I think it's a mini series. I thought I'd give it a go, and so I'll report back on that hopefully next show. In terms of what I've watched TV wise, I've been getting into Mad Men because it's something that the wife and I can watch. Quite enjoying that. Yeah. Again, years behind everybody else. In fact, this show is finished after 4 seasons.
It's at the end now, isn't it?
But AMC are showing that, but we also have Amazon Prime or Amazon Video or whatever the Amazon Instant. I don't even know what they're called anymore.
It's a new name every month, isn't it?
Yeah. So we have that. We're watching Mad Men via that, and started watching Sense8, which was a Wachowski brother.
Yes.
I hated it from the first minute, really. Could not get on with that. I've desperately been trying to get through the first season of Extant, which is Halle Berry, the sci-fi thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's alone in space for, you know, what, 18 months or something, and then she comes back pregnant. Well,
yeah.
How did that happen? I don't know, I haven't watched it yet, but there's a second season. Well, there's a second season of that on Amazon as well. Not been watching too much on Netflix lately, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to the second season of Daredevil coming back, and
we've got
Jessica Jones coming soon as well, haven't we?
Is it November?
Yeah, not too far, not long to wait for that. So that's kind of the TV I've been watching, Mad Men really, and a few other bits and pieces ad hoc. But film wise, I think I've seen a few, but there's only one that I can really remember. I went and saw Inside Out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I know we're a little bit behind the curve on this one because it's been out a while, and actually it's probably finished in cinemas now. But we were on the ferry going to France, and it's a 6-hour trip. Actually, I think it was on the way back, 6-hour trip home. And yeah, the kids get a bit bored on the ferry. There's plenty to do, but there's a cinema, and they were showing Inside Out, so we went and saw that. They'd actually already seen it. Our childminder had taken the kids to see it already, but yeah, me and my wife wanted to see it as well. Yeah. And that is a really stunning and beautiful movie, to the point where I had my wife in tears. And at one point, because we as parents could completely relate to it. Really, really, really enjoyable film, like beautifully done, as you'd expect. I mean, it's like Pixar, Disney, Pixar. I don't know which way around that goes these days. But yeah, I just really beautiful coming of age story. I think they did it really well. I haven't read the book it's based on, but yeah, it's about a little girl who's, I think she's 10 or 11. And her family whisk her away from her home. I think it's either very North America or Canada. And they move her down to San Francisco because the dad's doing a startup. He's away from home a lot. He doesn't spend a lot of time with her. Even when he's at home, he's on the phone a lot. And the little girl's in a new school. And her parents expect her to be brave and supportive for her dad, who's having a tough time getting his company off the floor. They're living in this crappy home. None of their stuff has arrived in the move. So she's literally sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag. But the premise of the film is that you see all the elements that make up her personality in her brain, and they control what's going on. And it's mostly funny, but like I say, very poignant at times and very touching as the little girl deals with all these things. And you see the emotions in her head and how sadness is actually an important part of her emotional makeup. So I highly recommend, if anyone hasn't seen Inside Out, then definitely do that. Again, late to the party, but another film we watched just the other day. It was a Zack Snyder film, which was Legend of the Guardians, which is about owls.
Oh, the owl thing, yeah.
Yeah, and again, really beautifully animated, but actually quite scary for the kids. So I've got a 7 and a 5-year-old. The 5-year-old camped firmly on my lap throughout. And the 7-year-old, she's nearly 8. She was like, she was tense. You can see her clenching her fists and like, what's gonna happen? Oh my god, am I gonna have to cry in a minute? But it sort of eased off just at the last minute, and she was like, relief. But that's a really good film as well. I really enjoyed that, so I'd recommend those two if you've got kids, or if you haven't and you want to watch something fun. So there we go, that's what we watched since last time. What should we talk about, John? There's a few films coming out later this year and a few films out at the moment.
Well, I've just got random news. I could pull random things from my head. Like, as of recording, Star Wars Episode 8 has started filming today.
Star Wars Episode 8 has... Wow. Wow. Star Wars Episode 7 isn't out until December, for goodness sake.
I know. And not only did they start filming 8 today, Rogue One's still filming as well, so...
I think they're jumping the gun a little bit. There's no guarantee that 7 will be a success. I mean, people don't know about this franchise. It's entirely possible that no one will go to the cinema to see it.
What world are you in?
Well, exactly, yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about 7. I mean, that's amazing that 8 has started filming, but obviously we don't know much about it at the moment. But what about 7? We've seen an Instagram trailer, which I don't know I approve of.
That was out of left field. I thought that might have been one of those teasers for a teaser's job. I thought, oh, is this going to be, we're going to get a new 2-minute trailer in a week or something. But no, it's just like, here's 15 seconds of Star Wars and it's on Instagram. It's like, oh, okay. I think part of the reason was Instagram implemented something where you can now post landscape videos.
Exactly.
Before there were only, I don't know if you used Instagram. Was it Square or Portrait originally?
Historically, Instagram has always been Square. And you could get apps to allow you to put a border on the sides and what have you. But Instagram implemented this change, and now you can post thin pictures, your portrait or landscape pictures now. Being a purist, I'm not sure I approve of that, but I quite like the square. But they did that, and of course then they launched that with the Star Wars Episode 7 footage, which is great. Yeah, really looking forward to it. We found out a little bit more about the characters. We found out that C-3PO has a red arm. Oh my God, the internet lost its shit about that, didn't it? A red arm on C-3PO. Why? Tell us. We can't wait to find out.
Do you know there's actually a one-shot comic coming out explaining why he's got a red arm?
I do know that, yes.
Yes.
And in fact, I've just started buying the Marvel comic series Shattered Empire, which is the story that goes from Return of the Jedi all the way up to, I've forgotten the name of the new Star Wars film.
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, that's right. I'm interested to read that and see what happens. The comic far is really good, great artwork. I mean, not much story is developed in the first edition, I should say. But it looks really good. Han Solo looks like Han Solo. And
I know, it's quite a surprise. Like, oh my God, likenesses.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting. I'm happy to see that.
And there's also, if Star Wars fans probably know this, but a new novel was released last week, Star Wars Aftermath.
Oh right,
which is also the story of what happened after Jedi.
They're kind of making everything official canon as well, aren't they? There's nothing really being released that isn't actually part of what's happening.
That's right. Disney basically just went, I know that everything's been created beforehand ever. Well, forget it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't exist anymore. That's now, they call it, it was called the Expanded Universe, and now renamed it now Star Wars Legends, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they call that. Which means, I mean, at the beginning of the Star Wars Aftermath book, it's actually had, with the publishing company, Del Rey, it gives the Star Wars timeline, and it's like the 6 films, and then you've got the Clone Wars, which is what? It's in between 2 and 3. And you've got Star Wars Rebels, the latest cartoon, which is before A New Hope. And then you've got Force Awakens, obviously at the end. There's a book called Tarkin. Wasn't you hear that one?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
There's a novel all about Grand Moff Tarkin, and there's a few other books. But that's all there is at the minute.
But what we also had was Force Friday.
We
got a glut of new toys, and the one that really caught my fancy was the. You've got the Captain Phasma, who obviously in the film is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They released play sets, dress-up costumes, aimed only at boys.
Oh, God.
Clearly, it says on the label, just boys dress-up. Nothing about girls. It's a female character, and they completely excluded the female market from that toy. Well done, good work.
Well done, Disney.
I'm not sure which licensed company issued that, but they need to do some work on that.
It's the Black Widow syndrome all over again.
Yeah. I mean, really, God, we really need to join the 21st century with things like this. But BB-8, the little BB-8 robot from Spiro.
Well,
later on this week, possibly it will be out before this podcast, depends on how much I have to edit it. I've had a little hands-on with that, because our nerdy mate Keith Wilson has not only bought one, he's bought two.
Two? Greedy bugger.
One's an investment, he says. We'll see. He's anticipating a rush before Christmas. And eBay will be his friend.
Well, I don't know about in other parts of the world, but we have a website in the UK called Hot UK Deals, where obviously people find what they think is a good deal on something, post it on the website, and everyone else can go, oh, look, we'll have that. It's a good price. And just as Force Friday came out, everyone wanted this BB-8, and Hot UK Deals was getting littered with all these postings saying, oh, you can buy it at Marks & Spencer, they've got stock. No, they've run out. Oh, Tesco's have got something, get some there. It's not a deal. No one's selling it cheaply. Everyone's selling it at $129.99.
$129.99 here, $155 in the US. But I don't want to spoil what I'm going to put on the website, but it is a really amazing piece of kit. I mean, looking at the trailer, I looked at, and again, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I looked at BB-8 and I thought, I'm not that impressed. This could be the new Jar Jar Binks of the series for all I care. It just doesn't grab me. And then I saw them bring out the real live action one on stage at that Star Wars celebration or whatever it was.
Yes.
And I was just, I was wrong. This is fucking amazing. They've got this full size working robot that's a ball that works with gyroscopes and what have you. I don't even know. It's like magic. It's like voodoo keeps that thing up. And the same company that made that full size, version have developed this toy, and it works in the same way. It is incredible, really, truly incredible. That doesn't give away what I'm going to write on the website by any means, so don't take that as real. Also the Millennium Falcon drone, I really quite like the look of.
Oh yeah,
that looks cool, because somebody made one before, and they there was footage of them flying it around a field, and that looked pretty cool. But they've actually made an official one, which looks awesome as well. So I'm quite looking forward to Christmas. we've done Star Wars. What else have you got to talk about, John?
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, is that happening? I forgot about that.
That's still going on. That's still coming out next year, eventually.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's more Batman than Superman, it turns out.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that, and I hadn't heard that already. What started out as a Man of Steel sequel has very quickly turned into, people don't really like Superman, but they do like Batman.
Yes, here's Batman, and then Superman's in it occasionally.
Yeah. There's going to be plenty of each of them, I'm sure, and it's going to be an amazing spectacle. But, I've all the hype and the excitement I was feeling before when the trailer came out,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of dwindled a little bit, because we had a real spate of Suicide Squad, Batman v Superman, images, more footage, here's the Batmobile, here's Carly Quinn, here's whoever. and it was like, oh my god, this is amazing, there's so much stuff coming, it's like, I can't wait for this film, and then nothing.
And then, just all gone dead quiet.
It's like, what? I am still really excited for it. I really want to see it. I can't wait for that film to come out, but I really am worried that they're over-tinkering it. And like I said before, I think that it feels a lot like they're just making it up as they go along. But time will tell. We'll see on that one. I don't know.
I mean, the rumour started. It said that the Warner executives have seen a rough cut, and apparently they liked it so much the film got a standing ovation at the end.
Oh, wow.
And they're so impressed with Ben Affleck's performance as Batman that they've actually ordered more Batman in the film, because apparently he's sort of like shoving Superman off the screen.
Huh.
But then to sort of counteract that, Zack Snyder, the director, said in an interview recently, he goes, well, yes, our film has got more Batman in it because we've got to reintroduce the character all over again.
I
know you know who Batman is, but we've got to introduce Batman into our series of films. This is not the Batman we know as Christian Bale, obviously. This is a new Batman.
Right.
So he says we've got to introduce him before we can get on with the fight.
Well, I suppose it makes sense in a way, because the trilogy ended in a way that there's no obvious continuation of that. So I guess they have to reboot and restart, and here we go again. Spider-Man reboot 7.
I know.
But, whatever. I'm still excited to see that. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think now, having been more excited about Superman v Batman, I'm probably now just a little bit more excited about Star Wars, and it's been a slow burn for me. I wasn't really excited about Star Wars that much, but it's starting to really build up, and it's coming really soon. And yeah, it could be the first Star Wars film I get to take my kids to at the cinema. It will be. Yeah,
you're going to drag them on if they like it or not.
Well, they've seen A New Hope and they enjoyed that.
Oh yeah.
But we haven't persevered with Star Wars because, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they'd watch it, but I don't think it's naturally their chosen type of film. They like more girly things quite naturally. They're girls. But I hope to get through the Star Wars films with them, and perhaps they'll be interested in seeing it. I don't know. It might not be appropriate. I don't know what the certification will be on those films yet.
No, I'd read a funny comment on Reddit earlier this week where someone said he wants to try and get his friend had never seen Star Wars.
Okay.
So he goes, I want to get him to watch all six. But when I told him, he's okay. Can we just watch the new ones though? I don't want to watch those old shitty ones.
Oh my god. Well, yeah. I mean, in a similar vein, I went to a gig last week, and I was with one of my friends, Matt, who's slightly older than me, and then a guy that has started working where I work fairly recently, and he's in his 20s. And we're talking about Star Wars. We all love Star Wars, but Fraser, the younger guy, just likes the most recent trilogy. They're his Star Wars. They're what he knows. He's like, that's what he prefers. Okay.
Difficult. Awkward.
Yeah, should we go and watch the band? But it is what it is. Yeah, people have their preferences. Yeah. So, Star Wars, again. We did a little bit of Batman v Superman, and we got back to Star Wars. What can we get onto now that we can get back to Star Wars to?
Okay, let's try and link these ones together. Producer Simon Kinberg, who's involved in a lot more stuff than I realised recently, has been talking a lot, and he's involved in two things recently. He said, let's do the worst one first. Apparently he's working on a sequel to Fantastic Four.
Well, I mean...
I know.
let's take a step back and talk about Fantastic Four for a starter. I didn't go and see it. I am.
Either.
My interest is piqued enough for me to seek this out in a kind of San Andreas kind of way. but I am so sad that they got this so wrong. And that's just going by internet hearsay, but many people can't surely be wrong. I'm very, very sad that they cocked it up so badly, because I had high expectations and high hopes for that film, and the trailers seemed to suggest that there were a lot of positives to it. And I know the director, who was troubled in many respects, says that it's not the cut that he was going to put out, that the studio has cut it right down, and that's taken out any meaning to the film. It really destroyed the flow and just ruined the film. I don't know. It's unlikely he'll ever get a chance to do a director's cut, I would have thought.
I highly doubt it.
But I am still interested to see that. And I know I'm going to be disappointed, but I just want to see how bad it is. how much of the bad reviews are hype, and is it really that bad? I don't think they can do any worse with a sequel. I'm surprised they're doing a sequel, but... it could be, they may be able to save it with another one. Who knows? It's possible. They seem to have decent elements there. Can they pull them together and make a decent film? Yeah, they've certainly got plenty of characters and scope to play with in that sort of Fantastic Four universe. So, we'll see. I mean, I was never a big fan of Fantastic Four anyway in the comics or the last films. Especially Rise of the Silver Surfer just destroyed my soul watching them. I'm not a huge fan, but I kind of wanted that series to succeed, and it's a shame that it hasn't. And again, it's 20th Century Fox, isn't it? Just proving that they don't have a clue on how to manage these characters. I don't know.
Well, I've been doing a lot of sort of background reading into the film because I'm finding it really interesting. And so the two quick points I want to make. The first point is, it seems that once again, Fox only made this film to keep hold of the rights because time was running out.
Right, yeah.
Apparently they first announced this film in 2012.
Okay.
And it's only obviously last year they finally sort of went, oh shit, we better start making this. Mm. And secondly, I've found out that Marvel weren't very happy about it either, because I think Marvel kind of like those rights back.
Yeah.
And to show their protest, not only did they, I don't know which strain of it is or all of it, they actually stopped one of the Fantastic Four comics that was currently running.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's an issue of The Punisher. There's actually a couple of panels which show the cast of the film, or not actually them, or incredibly good sort of like lookalikes of them enjoying themselves in a building, and then the next panel is that building blowing up because it's been attacked by a terrorist or something.
Well, it's right. There are no Fantastic Four Marvel comics coming out at all. there's none whatsoever. I can see why. I mean, why would they market it? Why would they promote that?
Somebody else's property, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's like the same way, and it's not good for the comic book fans, but the same way, and again, we've mentioned this on previous shows, but they won't introduce any new X-Men characters in the comics because that just gives,
Oh, yeah.
It's 20th Century Fox again, isn't it? It just gives them another character to introduce into the films. It gives them more sort of fodder of fuel to keep going with these movies. I'm not a massive fan of the X-Men series of films either. I thought Days of Future Past was better than most of them have been.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a big fan. And I don't like the way Fox handle the films. They don't feel right. It's like they don't have the heritage or the pedigree behind them to pull it off in some respects. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just being snobby. But that's...
Maybe the Fantastic Four will change your mind. Or not.
I think unlikely. Well, we'll see. So Star Wars. are you planning on writing an article about the Fantastic Four since you're doing all this reading? A continuation maybe on the...
At some point, yeah. I've been sort of printing off website stuff and that to keep as notes, because I just think it's a fascinating story of how... I don't know who to blame, really. I mean, the director is to blame, but then Fox is also as well, because Fox sort of changed their... They agreed on what the film was going to be about, and after they sort of got into it, Fox went, oh, actually, they would like the way this film's turning out.
Hmm.
But there's more to it than that as well. It's just, oh.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is it Kate Mara? Is that her name?
Sounds familiar.
Is she that she's in Fantastic Four? She hasn't even seen it yet.
Oh, really?
Apparently, all the negative reviews has put her off seeing it. She's like, I don't know if I want to watch it now.
Oh, wow. Well, that's bad news, isn't it? When your star of your film doesn't want to see the film. fair enough. Okay. Have you anything else? What else have we got?
Just the same producer, Simon Kinberg, who also worked on Fantastic Four. He's also on, he's producing Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
He's just confirming again that it is an R-rated movie because you can't do it any other way.
No.
He's seen a rough cut and he says it's looking brilliant. And they're already thinking about a sequel to that as well already.
Well, this might be the exception to the rule. This might be the one that shows me to be a complete tool. And actually, 20th Century Fox can get a movie right. Because Deadpool... Fantastic Four looked great in the trailers, but Deadpool... looks great in the trailers. And, Ryan Reynolds, as dreamy as he is, as a hark back, anyone that's been listening to previous shows, he makes a good Deadpool. He's got the wit and the humour that goes along with it. And he seems to live the character, which is great. I really enjoy his social media, his tweets and things, and the way he gets into character for it. And... It looks like a lot of fun, and I had great reservations before they started filming. What's his name? I can't remember the artist, the comic book artist.
I don't know. Sorry.
Oh God, Liefeld. Anyway, he draws horrendously bad comic books that yeah, if you've ever seen, like, there's this picture of Captain America with this massive chest, and somebody did a cutaway of what he would actually look like if he was real. It's just absurd, just so out of proportion. He draws characters so out of proportion, but he's sort of behind it as creative input. And all right, I know he's not drawing the, you know, in the film, but I was really worried because I think it's Rob Liefeld, something like that. He's just just so derided in the comics community. But yeah, it could work. I mean, it looks good so far, and I just hope 20th Century Fox don't fuck it up like they have all the other films.
Well, if anything, then this will probably prove that Fox have got a brilliant marketing department.
Yeah, great marketing, shit filmmakers. That's the problem. well, never mind. We'll see. Oh, well.
But in terms of harking back to Fantastic Four on that point, it turns out that half the footage in the Fantastic Four trailer isn't actually in the final film.
Oh, is half of it?
Well, I don't know. I just put that number in the air. A lot of it. The big one, the thing jumping out of a plane and landing and attacking a base or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not in the film.
Ah. Have you seen the film?
No, I want to, though, because I want to see it to see if it's the car crash everyone says it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should arrange to watch it on the same night or something, and then and do a podcast special to make up for the however long it has been since we last did a podcast. since we went on our planned summer break.
That's right. That's better.
I'll edit that. is he planning any other sequels?
No, that's all he said at the moment. I think he's working on one of the Star Wars films as well.
That'd be amazing if he was.
Because he was the guy, because I do remember the Josh Trent was going to be doing one of these standalone Star Wars films.
Yeah, thank God he's not, eh?
And that is that producer that basically grasped him up to Disney and said, no. don't work with this guy. He's a complete pain in the arse.
Cool. We got back to Star Wars. That's awesome.
Yes!
The Star Wars show. Yeah, cool.
The live-action Akira is back on again.
Oh, yeah, as a trilogy.
As a trilogy, yes. It's an interesting take on it. Well, actually, it's probably the only way to do it, actually, considering... you've read the original manga, haven't you?
I'm still on volume 5 of 6.
How many are there in total? Is it still ongoing?
Six. There's six. But
there's only six.
They're all the size of phone books.
Yes, I know.
They're massive. But they're not hard to read. There's not, you know, there's an awful lot of picture, not a lot of words, to be honest.
All right.
But really good. I get so distracted. Okay, I'm gonna cry a little bit here. Cry me a river, you'll say. part of the problem with running a blog or a website, that where people start to notice you, is that you get bombarded with a lot of stuff you have to read and watch and listen to review, and it kind of eats into time where you'd like to read stuff that you want to read. And I put Akira down a little while ago because I had other stuff to get through, and I failed to pick it up again. But I will do. I will get through it. Yeah, I really need to. Fortunately, it is something you can pick up and carry on with fairly easily. It's not hard to pick up the story. Yeah. But the animated film was, firstly, it was really the film that introduced the UK, certainly, to manga.
Yeah.
It was filmed... film quality frame rate, which makes it a far smoother and a much more pleasant experience to watch, not as jerky as a lot of anime has been. And but it never, I think the film was finished before the comic book was finished, and so
there was
never really an ending to it. But it is massive, and I can really see, you know, there are different acts. You could make a trilogy out of it, I think, quite easily. There's definitely enough material.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree.
Okay. I don't really know much about that. I just know the size of phone books. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's the introduction of the characters and the discovery of the Akira project.
Yeah.
The awakening of Akira. And then there's the rule, or the reign of Akira. And then there's probably more, which I haven't got to yet. But, there's that.
Right, sounds like the anime only reached, like, the second one.
Well, pretty much, yeah. It was the end. Akira was awakening, I think.
Yeah.
So there's so much more to come. I mean, really, yeah, there is so much more in the book for Neo Tokyo and the aftermath of the rise of Akira. So yeah, I can definitely see it. On a similar vein, I don't know if you read anything I was writing about Attack on Titan. That's another film I really, really need to watch. Although, again, reviews seem to suggest that it might be a bit of a disappointment.
I mean, I watched the trailer and then I've seen the reviews, but I'd still give it a watch, I think, if it turned up.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame that it never really made it to cinemas here, because I would have liked to have gone, I think it is certainly a film that would lend itself to the big screen. I mean, it's on such a huge scale I think it needs a big screen viewing, but I would have to suffice with a small screen viewing at home, and I'll try and enjoy that. But
if I remember rightly, the reviews were, when the reviews comparing it to the original manga and saying how they don't really, it's not a very, I can't remember.
I don't know.
I mean, as someone who's never read the source material, I'm hoping that I won't see the flaws that maybe other people do.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's, yeah, I feel much the same.
Is it based on anime or manga? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's based on the comic book, the graphic novel, mangas, and from which, of which there are dozens. I mean, it's such a long, ongoing series.
Yeah.
There have been, I think, one or probably two highly rated anime series based on it as well.
Okay.
I think there's still an ongoing anime series at the moment, which people think very highly of. And I think the film perhaps doesn't stay true to the source material.
No.
So, you know, the core elements are there. Basically, humanity, what's left of it, is kept within a walled area. For 10 years, they've been safe from these enormous man-eating, you know, humanoid-type creatures, the Titans. And the Titans try and, you know, break down the walls and eat the people, basically. That's what they do. They eat people. And the more people they eat, the less humans there are left on the world. And every time they break through a wall, they have to fall back to the next wall, and humanity is slowly getting pinned into a smaller and smaller area. But you know, they develop a way to kill the Titans, because if you shoot them, if you cut their heads off, if you chop an arm off, it regenerates. They're invincible. Ah. But they do discover a way to kill them, and they find a way of battling them as well, without giving too much away. And because I don't know much more than that, I think I've only read the first three volumes of Attack on Titan. I'm slowly getting them one by one from my local library, which has a fantastic collection of graphic novels, but don't always have the next one in the series. So I've been going through Sin City, the series, but they don't have they don't have I think it's the fifth one or sixth one, possibly because of the dubious and slightly racist title is detrimental to the Chinese nation. I've been reading Saga, which is an amazing comic book. If no one's read Saga, get Saga. It's amazing. Truly, like, beautiful artwork and a really great story as well, and fun to read. So I'm on a volume 3 of that, and also I'm reading Attack on Titan. So lots of reading going on. But yeah, I want to see that. So getting back to Akira, brilliant. I hope it happens. You know, it's been a long time in the making. There have been several attempts to make a live-action film. The closest anyone's got is that somebody made a fan trailer for
it. Oh, yeah.
Which looked fucking amazing. Like, give that guy the job, really. Just all women. I don't know if it was a woman. Could have been. But that was fantastic. And if you haven't seen that, I think search our website. It's on there somewhere. I'm pretty sure you posted about it, or I posted.
Yeah,
about
I think
it.
Yeah. One of us did. I remember it going up there.
It's on the site anyway. So I really hope, you know, as far as trilogies go, obviously Star Wars is great, but Akira could be good too. And Revenge of the Titans as well.
I was just double checking. I wasn't sure, but yeah, Attack on Titan is actually a 2-part film, apparently.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The Japanese actually get the second film apparently in theaters the end of this week.
Oh, really? That's amazing. I'm sure I could find the first one somewhere to watch. I'm sure it's available somewhere online, probably. So yeah, I don't know. I will seek that out at some point.
What is he on about?
I don't know. Dodgy dark ways. Talking of dark ways, it might not be on your news list. It may be on your news list, but interesting to see that Constantine will return.
Oh, yeah.
To screens as part of. I can't remember what it was part of.
Arrow. He's going to turn up in one episode of season 4 of Arrow, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. So I may give that episode a look. That's
what I'm planning to do as well. Yeah. It's like, I need more Constantine.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Arrow, but I'll watch the Constantine episode, I think. That would be quite fun.
Did you ever watch Black Mirror?
I didn't watch Black Mirror, but I know it was hugely popular, both sides of the Atlantic. But I think what you're going to tell me is that they're remaking it.
No, Netflix are actually going to make more episodes.
Okay.
Which is good news.
I did hear that they were actually making an American version, though. Maybe wrong.
No, I don't know. That sounds vaguely familiar.
I mean, also, they're remaking Utopia for the American market.
Oh, that's been cancelled, I think.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go. This is
a shame, because even though I've already watched it, I wouldn't mind seeing the American take on it.
Yeah, this is the rumours section, by the way. It's a new section we're putting
on. News, rumours, it's all mixed up.
Yeah, it's all there somewhere. But, okay, so the Netflix are making more episodes of Black Mirror. It was Charlie Brooker behind that, wasn't it?
It was, yes. They're just very... creepy is the right word, but... I can explain Black Mirror to someone who's never seen it. The first episode, they're all about social media and IT and sort of ideas we have now, but sort of extrapolated a few years in the future and how that's going to affect our lives if it happened. I mean, there's an episode where I can't remember if it's a boyfriend or husband, but he dies in an accident and she gets this robot. This sort of that basically logs into this guy's Twitter feed, Facebook feed, his emails, and it goes through all the data he's created online to sort of recreate the man. And so she sort of ends up treating this android as if it's her real partner.
Okay.
And there's another one. Everyone's got implants, which means all of their memories are recorded and you can play them back just like, you know, watching something on a digital viewing box. Hmm. Obviously, it's all quite pessimistic, actually, but it's quite interesting to see how they're done. So, because you can play back... one guy's at a dinner party and he thought his wife was acting weird, so he keeps replaying it. You can sort of project them onto a TV or something, if I remember rightly, and he keeps playing back memories of the dinner party and he notices that his wife is flirting with this other guy quite a lot, and he starts getting really suspicious of her. And that just tumbles out of control. But you can't forget the first one if you ever see it, because the princess of the royal family has been hijacked. taken hostage. That's the wrong word. First letter was correct, the rest of it wasn't. The princess of the royal family has been taken hostage. And the demands are that the Prime Minister has to fuck a pig on live TV, otherwise they'll kill her.
Oh my God, that is twisted.
That is twisted.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely brilliant, though, because you can see everyone trying to come up with ways of faking it. And, you know, is he really going to have to do it? And, of course, all these things usually have, the way they turn out is not the way you expect it at all. Hmm. I think there's 7 in total.
Okay.
I think there's 2 series of 3 episodes each, and there was a Christmas special last year or year before. And they're all fantastic.
Yeah, I know it was, you know, it's highly rated. A lot of people loved it. And like I say, I heard from, you know, my social media friends in America that they really enjoyed it as well. So, yeah, great. I'm sure, yeah, that'll be good. I wonder if Charlie Brooker's still involved. I would imagine so.
I think he is, yes. He needs to be writing the episodes.
It's originally made for Channel 4 here, which he's quite heavily involved with anyway, I think. or at least used to be, a screen wipe. He used to do screen wipe on...
That's on BBC Two.
It is now, but it used to be on Channel 4.
I did it? Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he made the jump, and they renamed it. I don't know what it was. But anyway, yeah, good news. Good news. Now, we're almost at the hour mark already, John.
Okay.
How much more have you got?
I don't know. Wind down with one last thing, I suppose. Steven Spielberg doesn't think superhero movies are going to last.
That's true. It's true. And he's probably right, you know.
He thinks they're going to go the way of the Western. There's the, like, because the Westerns did the same thing, really. There was loads and loads of them, and then you don't get them anymore. Unless Clint Eastwood needs a bit of work, then he usually goes and films one.
I think it's a good analogy. I think he's right. I really do. I think we're very much in danger of reaching saturation point with superhero movies. That's not to say I'm going to get saturated and fall out of love with superhero movies, but I think the wider market, you get a lot of people nowadays interested in superheroes that weren't 5 years ago.
Yeah.
To the point where, again, I've mentioned it before, but the woman I sit opposite at work is totally into it all. And you know, she considers herself a new nerd, which is a thing. And, we've been dying from a drought of superhero films for so long and craving that kind of thing. And they haven't been available. And now there's an absolute overload of superhero movies and comic book adaptations and everything that you can think of on TV and at the cinema. I mean, 2018 alone, it's crazy how many films there are. I mean, there's literally, I think, one a month coming out. And, it's a good time. It's a good time for the nerds. And we've got to really enjoy it because it will burn out. It will be... a time when I think people have had enough, and it won't be profitable for the studios to make this stuff anymore, and it'll fall off. You know, it'll stop being relevant, and people won't be interested in it anymore. So, you know, at least we'll have these 300 films that have come out in the last 10 years. By the time it happens, to fall back on, and we'll have plenty to watch until it rises again. But I agree with Spielberg. I know a lot of people have disagreed, but I kind of think he's right. I don't think he's a fool.
There's graphics going around where people have shown the timeline of all these films coming out for what, the next 3 years, is it 4 years?
Yeah, really,
and I can't imagine that every single one of those is going to turn into a fully fledged film. Something's going to trip up, I think, along the way, and some of those ones are going to go, perhaps we won't make that one. Let's put that on the shelf for a while.
Yeah, I think when the wider audience, when the wider market, like your mainstream cinema goers, get bored of it or reach a point where it's like, well, we've had enough now. I think that's when the studios will start easing back and stop making so many. I don't think it will die out altogether.
No, I mean, as much as I love Marvel films, there is a part of me that wonders, is this going to be the film that flops for them?
Yeah,
when I first saw the Ant-Man trailers, I thought, I don't think I'm going to like this. I don't know how well this is going to go down.
Yeah.
And it was Marvel, so it was brilliant. And
well, they do have a rich vein of form, and they do hire very well.
Yeah,
but. I think there is a driving force behind it. There's a one or two or a group of people that are very carefully planning that out, and so many years in advance as well. But at some point...
Did you hear about that restructure they had recently at Marvel?
Well, yeah, vaguely I did.
You've got Kevin Feige, who is basically the head of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm.
But there was a guy above him that didn't always agree with him.
Right, okay.
Apparently, is it him? I think that was the guy who didn't really want to make any Black Widow merchandise.
Oh, okay, right.
And there's some other ideas. There's something for Civil War he didn't want to do, and I don't know, basically all the things we take for granted and we think are amazing, a lot of the things he said, I don't really want to do that, I don't think it'll work.
Mm.
And Kevin Feige went to Disney and went, if this guy's going to keep going against me every time, I'm just going to go. So Disney went, we've just had a management restructure and he's gone now.
Amazing.
And apparently there was another board of people that they discussed ideas with, and they've gone as well. So Kevin's pretty much got a much freer rein now of what he wants to do film wise.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I hope it continues. In the same form as it has, but there will. I mean, there has to be a point where it stops being relevant, or they have a flop. I mean, it just has to.
I want to see Marvel do their promised lineup and get to the Infinity War.
Yeah,
because that's what they've been doing since Iron Man, essentially.
Yeah,
and if it doesn't get that far, that'd be extremely disappointing.
That's right. That's right. I mean, oh God, please don't be Captain Marvel. Please don't be Captain Marvel that flops. I really, really want that film to be great. And it's probably going to be the one that flops. But we'll see.
But Star Wars won't flop. That's going to make loads of money come December.
Star what? Star Lord. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy again recently, and I don't know if you saw the announcement today, but the director says that there's a massive Easter egg in that film that no one's spotted yet.
Yeah, I read that.
I wonder what that is.
How many people are going to go back and watch the film again? And go,
well, yeah. Like,
don't pay attention to anything but background stuff.
Somebody will notice it at some point, I'm sure. And we'll go, oh, God. I saw that.
It's just a huge prank on everyone. You're like, oh, let's go on to Twitter. No one's found the huge Easter egg yet. And he sits back and goes, ha ha, there isn't one, but fuck you.
Yeah, I think there's a Guardians animated series coming on TV very shortly.
I think it's the first episode. It was already shown in the States as a kind of preview.
Yeah.
But yeah, so end of September, it starts properly in America. I think we're getting it not long after that as well.
So there's no marketing involved there at all. Suddenly putting Guardians of the Galaxy back in people's consciousness just as a new series starts.
Speaking of which, it's a headline I've seen but not read the whole story. The animated show is getting its own mixtape release, just like the film did.
Yeah, what was it? I can't remember what it was called. It was like Cool Mixtape or something like that.
That's it, yeah.
something like that, because, in the film it's Awesome Mixtape Volume 1, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I love Guardians of the Galaxy so much. Such a great film. And I made my wife watch it again the other day.
Good move, well done.
Yeah. So there we are. I suppose just to keep it slightly relevant, in the cinemas at the moment is The Martian, which I'd quite like to see.
Oh, I'd love to see that. The book was brilliant.
I'd like to see Straight Outta Compton as well, being a huge, gangster rap fan. No, my first rap album was an NWA album that my dad bought me. And I played it at home, and of course every other word is an expletive.
Yeah.
And he just pissed himself laughing. He was like, oh my God, don't let your mother hear that. I would like to. I'd be quite interested to see Straight Outta Compton, but again, that would probably be a home release that I end up watching that on. I can't think what else is at the cinemas at the moment that I'd quite like to see.
Star Wars isn't out until December.
Star Wars, is that coming out? don't know. So anyway, I think that's a pretty good show. We've been going for around about an hour, so. I think we should wrap it up, John. What do you think?
Yeah, that's good timing. Edit out the fluff and the crap, and you get down to about, what, 25 minutes?
God, no, I've got to leave the fluff and crap in. There'll be no show. Edit out the good stuff. Cool. Okay, well, until next time, this has been Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. I've been Will, and you've been...
I've been John, apparently.
You have been John. And you, my friends, have been listening to us. Thank you very much. And come back next time for the next episode. Bye.
Laters.
TheUnheardNerd.com.